Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, Dana Rodriguez is joined by tech writer Kira Pace and teacher Pauline Teichman.
Gotta be this or that.
Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
All right. And welcome to Minds Over Matter. I had a stressful day. So I'm a little scattered today because I was in the emergency room all day. So I won't go into detail about that except to say that it wasn't for me. So I'm fine. But I didn't have a lot of time to write questions. So I kind of wrote on little scraps of paper while the person I was with was sleeping. So if everything sounds a little scattered, it's all my fault. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely week and can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're welcoming your participation. David, don't leave because I've forgotten what the toll-free number was and because I don't have the piece of paper in front of me, which I've had for 23 years. And so I'm just going to give the 415-841-4134. And then you give the toll-free number.
The toll-free number is 866-798-8255.
That's right. 798. Okay, well, whatever. And all that being said, Minds Over Matter, as I said, is an audience participation quiz program. So we'll be hopefully giving you questions and giving us questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, just about everything else. And I'm happy to say we have a panel of three here tonight. We'll be taking your questions momentarily. Do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word. That is yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show because it's enough for me just to be able to read off a piece of paper. And we do read the emails, but we just don't read them during the show. And if you would like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after tonight at kalw.org. I think this is our last week in the portable that has come to mean so much to me over the last year and a half because it was so much more luxurious than our old station. I mean, it was almost shamefully nice compared to the old station. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they remodeled the old station and how nice that will be, because this is like the most luxurious portable I've ever been in, compared to the station anyway. So hopefully next week we'll be broadcasting in our new digs. So we're going to start with a round of introductions. And I think I gave you the number, but I'll do it again. 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255.
Yes.
Why do I have 06? Oh, man, that's pathetic. Okay. So we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Pauline Teichman is trying to ward off bad luck. Threw me off because she's using two different colors of pens. Pauline Teichman is trying to ward off bad luck by wearing red, but is afraid of failing miserably as her red pen gave out on her while writing her intro. See, I didn't read far enough ahead.
That's why it's two colors,
all
yes.
Right.
Kira Pace is keen to find out whether the legend of her Italian-speaking Canadian heritage will continue to grow or if Minds Over Matter follows sitcom rules.
So you admit
it. And her character resets.
Thank you. You're Canadian. I knew it.
Well, we'll find out. I'll know better at the end of the show.
Okay.
If Canadian or we're back to normal.
All right.
In the meantime, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, knows the first question many men will be asking themselves this Valentine's Day. So where's the nearest Walgreens?
That's right. And for the gifts that means come right from the heart, it means so much. Walgreens.
The chocolate heart box.
Yeah, exactly.
Whitman sampler.
Whitman sampler. All right, so we will start with Pauline Teichman.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with a follow-up of my intro. So being we're in the new Chinese New Year, so what animals, what are the 12 animals in the Chinese New Year, and which one differs in the Vietnamese and why? And also, what are the five elements?
Well, I don't know about the elements. How about the rat, goat?
Wait. How about letting some other people get some, too?
Well,
those are the easy ones, the rat and the goat.
Well, we're in the year of the cock, and we've got an ox.
So rooster and ox.
There you go.
Good. Why don't we let people call in for the others?
All right. And the other part of it was?
And the other part was also which one differs in the Vietnamese calendar.
So there's only one that differs?
There's only one that differs in the Vietnamese calendar.
Okay.
And there's a reason why, at least traditionally, or it said there's a reason why. And also, what are the five elements? And since we're on Zodiac, I can maybe also ask about the Burmese Zodiac, which is different from the other.
I'll take your word for that. I don't know anything about
different.
The Burmese Zodiac.
Does it have animals?
It does have some animals.
Oh, is it more like the, like Libra has scales, but Cancer's a crab kind of mixture of things?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm just out of ideas for the Burmese.
All right. And you go ahead, Tupul, Kira.
All right.
Kairapache.
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 I'm going to go with a couple of rapid-fire science-y questions.
Ooh.
Okay, so first of all, name the current director of Johnson Space Center in Houston, who in 1990 became the first ever Latina to become an astronaut.
Good question.
I don't know.
Okay.
The
first woman to earn a medical degree in the United States and the first African American inducted into the National Academy of Sciences had the same last name. What is it?
Oh.
I believe he was out of Berkeley. I don't know if that helps.
Woman, they made a movie about that with June Allison playing her.
Hmm.
And was this in New York?
I'm trying to remember. It was a really long time. It was, I know it was East Coast. She ended up going to school, I want to say, in Pennsylvania somewhere. But
I think, yes.
I read a book about her when I was in the second grade. It was her name, first female doctor or something like that.
Yeah. They made The Woman in White. It was not The Woman in White or The Girl in White or something like that it was called. Yes, maybe the name may actually come to me at some point. Interesting. Okay, repeat those if you would.
Sure. The first woman to earn a medical degree in the United States and the first African American inducted into the National Academy of Sciences had the same last name. What is it? And name the current director of Johnson Space Center in Houston, who in 1990 became the first ever Latina to become an astronaut.
Oops, I keep doing that. Sorry. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Jared from Hayward.
Hi.
Got a couple questions. My first one is, what Bay Area TV station, UHF station, went off the air the first time because the owners wouldn't pay their electric bill?
So it's a UHF station.
Yeah.
Channel 20?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
That sounds like something would happen at Channel 20.
Yeah, what happened, you know it. All my communications would not pay their electric bill, and it went off the air, and it went on the air again, though, in a real strange mixture of programming.
Right.
Here's my second question. What religious epic premiered on television 46 years ago this day?
This day? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
46 years ago.
So it would be 71.
All right. I'd like to say it was Dudley Moore's Holy Moses.
No, I think, no, it wasn't that. No, that's 81.
The Ten Commandments?
Nope, but it has the same star.
Ben-Hur?
Yes, the whole movie. They played the whole movie in a four-hour time slot.
Kind of boring. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying your question was boring. I'm saying Ben-Hur is kind of boring. Okay. Let's see.
It can't all be chariot races.
No. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me look at my scraps of paper here and try to come up with a couple of questions for him. All right, here we go. According to the according to the Foreign Service Institute, through the State Department, what are the four most difficult languages for English speakers to learn? According to the Foreign Service Institute, what are the four most difficult languages, world languages, for America to English speakers to learn?
What about the macro language of Chinese?
Yes, in a broad.
Mandarin,
you're
for
right.
example.
Yes, okay. yes. Well, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's your guess.
That's
and
my guess.
Pauline? Although that is not the hardest. That is not the, that's number, not number one. Though that is one of the four.
Russian?
No. No. I took Russian and it was pretty hard, but it wasn't that as hard.
See, I would say French in terms of the grammar, but.
No, but just to get a basic speaking sense of it, it's probably not that difficult. Is it really? French?
No, it's more the writing.
Yeah.
Are there any romance languages on that list?
No.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you another guess in a little bit. Okay. So, again, according to the Foreign Service Institute, what are the four hardest languages for English speakers to learn? These are all national languages, just so you know. And Kira got Chinese, the greater version of Chinese, taking in all the different dialects.
How about something like Afrikaans?
No, because that's Dutch. That's kind of basic Dutch.
Yeah, but it's not really basic Dutch. It's twisty enough that more complex.
Okay. Who were the, second question, who were the first husband and wife to win Acting Academy Awards?
First.
Who were the first husband and wife? Not in the same year, not together.
Warren Beatty and Annette Bening?
No.
Okay. Tandy, Jessica.
Acting.
Tandy.
And neither of them has won Acting Academy Awards. Though they both been nominated.
Thinking like Jessica Tandy and,
Ian Cronin?
Yeah.
No, he never won.
Oh, should have.
So who were the first acting husband and wife to win Academy Awards? All right. Not for the same thing. Different years.
I don't know if she won or not.
So, and the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. That is the toll-free number. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I called in a couple weeks ago and had asked questions to see if you could identify famous actresses by their monikers.
Oh, I remember that, sure.
And one we didn't finish, and that was the girl who was too beautiful. I don't know if you remember that.
I do, and somebody sent me an email who told me it was Barbara Lamar.
Exactly.
That was not my answer. That was I'll think of his name in just a second. But I want to give him credit for it. But he's the one who came up with that.
Oh, she died in 1926 of a morphine overdose.
Right.
One of the first drug overdose deaths.
Right.
In Hollywood. And I have four more people who have a moniker, and these are all singers. And I will tell you the publicity name they were given, and see if you can tell me who they are.
Are these older singers or?
Yeah, they're from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
All right.
And there's four of them. Who was the songbird of the South?
Oh, that's, is that Mildred Bailey?
No.
It's not Mildred Bailey. Okay. Songbird of the South.
Do you want to hear the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who was the Divine One?
Go ahead.
This moniker has been used for several singers, but I'm thinking of a singer in the 50s and 60s. And she was the little girl with the big voice.
Okay, go to the next one.
And the last one, I think you'll all know. Who was the Velvet Fog?
Well, that's Mel Torme. Mel Torme. Yeah, I guess we all know that.
Mel Torme, if you do the accent the wrong way.
The Songbird of the South, was that Dinah Shore?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Good.
When Dinah Shore ruled the area.
The Divine One and the little girl with the big voice.
Well, the Divine One. Oh, no. No, they're not talking about Bette Midler.
No, no.
She's the Divine Miss M.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right. You're right. Divine One. Is that maybe Peggy Lee?
No.
No, you better give us a hint.
She was very big in the 50s and 60s.
As a pop singer, basically?
Pop, yes. Pop singer and song stylist.
Pop singer and song stylist.
Very big in the 50s.
Connie Francis?
Nope.
No, we don't know.
Sarah Vaughan.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. That makes sense.
And the little girl with the big voice, big in the 50s through the 70s.
50s through the 70s.
Mostly in the 60s.
What was her style of singing?
Pop.
Pop.
Little girl with the big voice. Gosh, that could be a lot of different people.
Little girl, big voice.
Anybody? No, I'm sorry, we don't know.
Brenda Lee.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry we didn't do a little bit better with that.
That's okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman, technical editor Kira Pace. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi.
How are you all doing tonight?
Good.
I hope you're not getting the foot of snow that we're due for.
No. Highly doubtful.
Hardly.
Yeah. Honestly, I've got a couple of answers, or at least guesses. For the married couple with the Academy Award, was it Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward?
It was not.
Okay. I want to second whoever it was that gave the vote of confidence to Hume Cronin. I think he was great.
Thank you.
I saw him in the original Postman Always Rings Twice, and he was so good in that movie.
All right.
Let's see, difficult languages. How about Arabic?
Yes, Arabic. Good.
Okay. For the Chinese zodiac, I know my sign is the dragon.
Absolutely.
And do you want me to limit it to one? I've got a couple.
No, you can go ahead. Go for it. I just want to limit them. Yes.
The dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the snake.
Absolutely.
Those are my brothers and sister.
There you go.
Now, my question for you, I've been listening to some of your old podcasts. I really enjoy the old shows since I've just found you in the last year or so.
Oh, okay.
So I've been listening to a lot of the old ones. I found one a couple of years back where it was kind of funny. A caller had called in and challenged you with a question, but then you all struggled with the answer, and he had hung up without giving his answer.
Oh, no.
And you said you were going to look into it in the next week, and then something happened and just never came back to it.
Mm.
His question was this. It was, what are the five U.S. states where the state capital begins with the same letter as the name of the state?
Oh, that's come up before.
It has.
Dover, Delaware, Indianapolis, Indiana. Let's see. Honolulu, Hawaii. What else? What was the other one?
Dover, Honolulu, Indianapolis.
There's two more.
Anybody? Help me out.
Here's what happened on the show. He gave the question, what are the five states? And you worked at it. You got four of them then, but he hung up and never left the fifth. and you said you were going to look into it, and the next week just didn't get back to what the fifth one was.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Good.
Oklahoma City.
Good, 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 good.
There only are four.
Oh.
Oh, so one was a trick.
The caller had either a trick or he was just wrong, but the caller had said, what are the five? And you guys, it was so funny to hear this old podcast, because you were working and working and working, and what was the fifth? What was the fifth? And he was an early caller, and you spent most of the show coming back around to it every now and then. No, not this one. No, not that one. No, not that one. And then at the end of the night, we're stumped. And it turns out, no, there only are four.
Thank you. Thank you for revisiting our confusion.
Oklahoma City, Honolulu, and Indianapolis.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ed. And Pauline, I believe it is your turn.
Yes, so in honor of the Grammys, I was going to ask you to name the top three award-winning male artists, female artists, groups, and producers, and also the youngest to ever win, and the oldest.
The oldest woman or person?
The oldest person, oldest artist to ever win a Grammy, the youngest to ever win a Grammy.
Of any kind of Grammy. So the oldest person?
I believe so. I believe so, though it is a musician, so.
Well, I can think, for instance, the conductor, Sir George Schulte, was I think, in his 80s when he won a Grammy. But is it somebody who's older than that?
Older than that, quite a bit. In fact, in terms of the oldest, there are several that are older than that.
Okay.
I think the top five are older.
So I'm sorry. Go over the list of questions again.
So the top three male artists of the year, Grammy winners, top three female Grammy winners, top three groups, and top three producers in terms of number of awards.
Wins. Okay. The
number of wins, and also the youngest to ever win and the oldest to ever
win. So is Quincy Jones one of the producers?
Quincy Jones is one of the producers, yeah. Absolutely.
You said this is for Album of the Year, or this is just all?
No, not for Album of the Year. In fact, I don't think I asked for the album category. No, so it was just male artist, female artist, group,
okay,
and producer. So you just told me Quincy Jones, who's number one for producer.
Right. All right. And is Henry Mancini on there as a winner for composing? Or maybe you didn't ask the composer. And you're a composer.
I didn't ask in terms of composer categories.
And
I had to narrow it down to a certain manageable number of categories.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all?
Good.
Hello.
Please answer all those Grammy questions.
maybe I'll try. A male artist, how about Sir George Schulte?
That's number one.
Wait a minute, I said that.
You didn't say for male artist, you said it for oldest, and that was wrong.
female artist, how about Alison Krauss?
Absolutely right, number one as well.
Okay, I'm going to lay off the rest of them.
Right.
No question about, our Chinese
zodiac. Yes.
Rabbit.
Yes.
And that differs from the Vietnamese because they got the cat instead.
Absolutely. And do you know why?
I don't know. Because cats are cooler, Maddie says from the kitchen.
Which is absolutely true, but that's not why. I hear her laughing.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Anyway.
Or is that you're leaving that out?
That's still part of the question.
Okay.
I knew someone will know. I actually had a Chinese friend who posed that question and didn't know the answer and asked a Vietnamese friend, and I was the one who knew the answer.
All right.
Probably more cats in Vietnam, but a lot cuter. But anyway, married couple winning Oscars. How about Vivian Leigh and Laurence Olivier?
That's correct.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Very good.
And difficult language to learn. How about Polish?
No.
All right.
But I agree with you.
I have a question for all of you. And it is the Oscars. I mean, the Grammys tonight. Four people have won Album of the Year for live albums.
Live album.
Did Frampton Comes Alive?
No, it didn't.
No?
No.
Hmm.
14 people.
No, just four.
Oh, oh, four, I'm sorry.
What about Queen?
No.
Do you want to leave it out, Sparky?
I would like to leave that out, yeah.
All right, let's do that. And then we'll put you on hold and you give the answers, okay?
Okay, Grant.
All right, thanks.
Okay, we're almost done. Bye.
And in the meantime, Kira, your turn.
Okie doke. She was like my ex-girlfriend Ashley, who'd stolen my car, broken my heart, murdered my father, robbed a bank, and set off a pipe bomb in Central Park. Tall. That was one of the winning entries in the 2016 edition of a contest named for what man? The original author of the line, It Was a Dark and Stormy Night.
Bulwer Lytton.
That is correct.
Should know this from Peanuts.
Edward Bulwer Lytton.
Yes, that is the full name. I actually, I'll leave that for later. It's another language question, oddly enough. So let's go instead to, here we go. There are five sovereign states whose current national flags feature man-made buildings. What are these five countries?
Say it once more.
Sure. There are five sovereign states whose current national flags feature man-made buildings. What are they?
Cambodia?
Yep.
Good.
Features Angkor Wat.
Yeah.
Good, good. Can you tell us what parts of the world they're in, generally?
Sure. We've got one in Central Asia, two in Europe, three in Europe. Three more in Europe, one in Central Asia.
Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Some are a little more hidden than others.
Yes. Huh. All right, I have to think about that, but that's a good question. Okay.
Hooray, I aims to ask.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve, how are you?
Good.
So from last week, there was a big correction. The Livermoreum, named after the city of Livermore, which is also named after Robert Livermore, who was a landowner. This is about the question, were elements named after non-scientists?
Right.
So really, the intention of the lab to name after the city, not Robert Livermore, which is the city named after. So second.
All right.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
One is, we all know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain on Earth, as far as if you measure from the ground, from sea level. Mm-hmm. But before it was discovered, what was the tallest mountain on Earth?
Before Mount Everest was discovered.
What was the tallest mountain on Earth?
Are you measuring from the...
From the sea level.
Sea level, okay.
Yeah.
Before it was discovered. Well, you mean before it was discovered by Europeans?
By Europeans.
Okay.
What was the tallest? Now, let me tell you, it's a tricky question. Tricky.
In what year was it discovered?
Somewhere in the 19th century.
That's what I thought.
Well, let me give you the answer. It was still Mount Everest. Just discovering it doesn't make it shorter.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A good one.
Tricky question. Okay, so that's right. I asked you that before a few years ago.
Mm.
All right, this,
and we've gotten none the wiser,
yeah,
apparently.
No,
right. What is misophobia? M-I-S-O phobia.
Fear of soup.
Actually, it's not really that far if you really think about it.
Doesn't have to do with like mushrooms or something.
No, misophobia is a fear of certain noises. Correct.
Huh. What kind of noises?
Discordant noises. In other words, things that are irritating to the ear.
I will give you. Specifically, actually, go to. You know, have you ever been in a restaurant or people eating with loud
slurping?
Mouths?
Oh. People
yeah.
are slurping.
Not burping. No,
oh,
just
so that goes
chewing.
With the soup,
chewing.
Especially in Japan.
Chewing.
Right.
People making
yes.
a lot of. Have you been around? Like, have you ever taken a friend to dinner or lunch and they make really awful noises while they're eating?
We wouldn't take those friends to dinner.
Only once.
Don't take them out.
Right.
Thank you very much. That's
thank you.
Thank
right.
you. Bye bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. Technical editor, Kira Pace. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And, of course, you're listening to us on KALW 91.7 FM. Since we are about roughly halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. And, Pauline, you go first.
Okay, so I'm still waiting for a few of my zodiac sign, Chinese zodiac sign. We've got rat, ox, rabbit, dragon, snake, goat, rooster, and dog. We're waiting for the rest. And also for, we know that the cat now is the Vietnamese zodiac difference, but why? And also the five elements and the Burmese zodiac. And I'm looking for a bunch of categories in Grammys, youngest person to ever win, oldest person to ever win, groups, so for top three. We've got the top male artist, but not the two next, and top female, but not the two next after that. So.
All right. Kira?
The first woman to earn a medical degree in the United States and the first African-American inducted into the National Academy of Sciences had the same last name. What is it? Named the current director of Johnson Space Center in Houston, who in 1990 became the first ever Latina to become an astronaut. And finally, there are five sovereign states whose current national flags feature man-made buildings. What are these five countries? And Cambodia's Angkor Wat flag has already been revealed, so the other four.
And according to the Foreign Language Institute, through the State Department, what are the four hardest languages for English speakers to learn? So far we have Chinese and Arabic. What are the other two? And is that it for me? I think it is, actually. Okay. I think my other question was answered. All right.
Are we allowed to take another crack at that language?
Yeah, go ahead. You're chomping at the bit there.
I am. I'd like to guess Japanese.
You're right. Japanese is number one, actually. Very good. All right. I'll give you two questions. So I was in London recently over the general New Year time, and I noticed in Parliament Square they have a great many statues in front of the Houses of Parliament. And there are three statues of foreign leaders in Statuary Square in front of the House of Parliament. Who are the three? What are the three statues? Who are they of? Who are the three foreign leaders who have statues in front of the English Houses of Parliament?
So these are past leaders. They're not present leaders.
Yes, they're all past leaders. Yes, but none of them are English.
So how about, leaders, no. I was going to say something, but leaders would imply like president or something like that, right?
Just leaders, yeah. People who are the leaders of their countries. It doesn't have to be a president. So who are the three foreign leaders who have statues in front of the English Houses of Parliament? Yes, Kira, do you want to take a guess?
I kind of do, although it'll probably sound stupid. But based on what I kept seeing in Australia, I want to guess JFK, even though he's modern.
No, that's a perfectly logical guess, but no, not JFK.
Do they go back further in time than that?
I don't think I'm going to say. All right, second question is, if I could find out where it is. Oh, yes. What is the single most complained about company in the United States? What is the single most complained about company in the U.S. in terms of consumer complaints?
Oh. About gas and electric company.
No, I want a name of an actual name of a company.
Like AT&T or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to coin flip between Apple and Walmart and say, what am I going to say? Apple.
No.
Okay.
So what is the single most complained about company in the United States? According to consumer complaints, the amount of consumer complaints. And the number is area code 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. That's toll free, 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Merrill in San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi. So while I was waiting on hold, the lady got Japanese, so I'm mad at her.
That's all right. I'll give you that.
And how about Hungarian?
Oh. No, and that's extremely difficult language. I totally agree with you, but it's not one of the top four anyway.
Rats. How about Finnish?
Also extremely difficult, and they're related, as you well know, I'm sure, that Finnish and Hungarian and Estonian. all related. No.
But no. And somebody else got me on Arabic, and I've been on hold for a while.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Arabic and Mandarin. That's the way it goes.
Right.
How about, for most complained about company, how about Comcast?
Oh.
No. Yeah, that's a very good guess. But no.
I'd have a lot of support on that.
I bet you would.
You do.
And I'm sure.
I spent thousands of hours on the phone with them.
I'm sure they took you seriously each time, too. I'm sure they're in the top 10, but it's not number one anyway.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Okay. For the languages.
Yes.
I got one desperate hope. Basque?
Oh. That's a very interesting guess. But no, it's a national language. I suppose Basque is,
okay.
Basque is not a national language.
The other guesses I would have said were Hungarian and Finnish, so I guess I'm out. Thanks.
Thank you.
Would it be like an American Indian dialect, possibly?
No. It's a national language, so okay. It's the same name as a country. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
Hi, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, hi. Yes, my name is Martin. I'm from San Francisco, and I have a question.
Yes.
What is the longest constitution in the world?
The longest constitution in the world. You mean the document itself?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Would this surprise us in some way, would you say?
If you don't Google or don't Wikipedia, I think so.
Longest constitution in the world.
I'm thinking like it's a language that might be written like this way as opposed to...
Is it? Well, that's an interesting point, Pauline. Is it based on the type of alphabet that's used, or
word? Yeah, it's based on the amount of pages, and I understand either on the way it has like pounds and pounds by if it's complete, it's like several pounds.
Oh.
It's longer than War and Peace, I would say.
Longer than War and Peace.
It's pretty long.
Over 1,000 pages. Huh. And this is a current constitution.
That's right. In effect, yeah.
So, since it's based on the lettering that's used,
I'm thinking like something
or
like
characters.
Korean.
I'll give you one hint here. It has the most amendments to it.
Oh, most amendments.
Now I kind of gave myself up a little bit, but there you go. Okay, it has most amendments. And with all those amendments, makes it the longest.
So is it ours because of all the amendments?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Which one is it?
Is there a Greek constitution? Because it probably been around for a long time.
Forever. Oh, that's interesting.
But this isn't necessarily about how old it is it?
No, it's pretty old, but it's still in effect today.
Pretty old.
Pretty old. How about Iceland?
Iceland.
I don't know. What part of the world are we talking about?
Well, now we're getting closer, okay? Do you want to leave it out there, or what do you think?
If you want to leave it out, we can let people guess.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to put you...
Also, can I guess the oldest person who ever won the Grammy? Was it Bob Dylan?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, interesting. Yeah. But no, not Bob Dylan.
Much older, believe it or not, even though he's starting to...
Okay,
age, but
hold on. We're going to put you on hold, and then you give the answer, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you. And Pauline, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of quotes dealing with silence. Please tell me who said them. So, and they're from all different points of view about silence. So one, we must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. That's just part of a quote. Blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving us wordy evidence of the fact. God is silent, now if only man would shut up. And then one more. Nothing strengthens authority so much as silence. So they're all well-known
I've learned anything from Facebook, they were all said by Abraham Lincoln.
Actually, none of them were said by Abraham Lincoln.
So give the...
But yes, a lot of things have been attributed to him, except for what he's actually
said. Give the four
said.
Quotes once more.
Okay, so the four quotes are, we must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving us wordy evidence of the fact. God is silent, now if only man would shut up. And nothing strengthens authority so much as silence.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Oakland?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes. For the other language, I was originally going to guess Amharic or Hindu, but when you said it was the country's name, I'll try Greek.
No.
I studied Greek. It's not that hard. It's,
yeah, I didn't think so either. I thought the other one was
not Greek.
Okay, and it's
even
not
people
Amharic
do say it's
or Hindu.
It is not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, so for the statue of the foreign leader in London, I'm going to guess Franklin Roosevelt.
No, I think there's a bust of him there. It's in front of the American Embassy, I think, on Grosvenor Square. But no, not it's not, not in front of the Houses of Parliament.
Okay, here's a quick question for you guys. It's a quote, and who said this quote? If you ever want to lose complete faith in democracy, just go out and talk to the average voter.
Oh, yeah, sad.
A lot of people
true.
Have been saying it, I'm sure.
Yeah, Is this said by somebody reasonably current?
No. He's from about, I'm guessing. I'll just say it was Winston Churchill.
Oh, all right.
Okay, I'll let you go. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Kira, it's your turn.
Okay, I've got a couple sketch comedy questions for you. Okay, first, Canadian sketch comedy troupe The Kids in the Hall reunited in 2009 to film what 8-episode CBC television show? A darkly comic murder mystery. You're so good. So good.
Brain Candy?
No, that was their movie, which is also excellent, and I watch every year that I decorate a Christmas tree.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Okay, so next sketch comedy question. Only 2 non-Pythons have ever received a writing credit for Monty Python's Flying Circus. One man plays Ron Nasty of the Ruddles, is half of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and wrote a song called Death Cab for Cutie. The other is a non-panicking ex-author. Who are these 2 men?
Oh, I should know the Death Cab for Cutie.
Non-panicking.
Non-panicking, as in don't panic.
Ex-author.
Ex-author. Like the ex-parrot.
Right.
Which is to say he is not with us any longer.
All right.
And... final question. With regards to Phil Hartman, who are Key Rock, Eugene, and John Johnson? Those are 3 different
Key
characters.
Rock is the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Yep,
one
unfrozen.
Of the great sketches of all time on SNL.
and my brother's nickname for me.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... can you go back and repeat this?
Sure. Canadian sketch comedy troupe The Kids in the Hall reunited in 2009 to film what 8-episode CBC television show, a darkly comic murder mystery. Only 2 non-Pythons have ever received writing credit for Monty Python's Flying Circus. One man plays Ron Nasty of the Ruddles, is half of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and wrote a song called Death Cab for Cutie. The other man is a non-panicking ex-author. Who are these 2 men?
Is the author Douglas Adams?
It is Douglas Adams.
All right. Yeah.
That's correct.
Because another panicking part.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Phil Hartman, the characters Eugene and John Johnson are better known by what 2 names?
Eugene and John Johnson.
I'll say that one is from another SNL recurring sketch, and one is from a movie.
Huh. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Great. I only have an answer, hopefully it's the right one, to the languages question. Is it Korean?
It is Korean. Yes, of course.
I've had trouble learning it myself, and I am Korean.
that's
I have a
That's a beautiful testament to the difficulty of your language.
If you know what it is, the reason, it's because of the prefixes and suffixes making very, very long words. And so system-wise, it's related to Sino-Ugric, so Finnish.
Oh,
right?
Really?
That's interesting. Creating these super long words. There's even a song making fun of how many long words you can, how long a word you can make in Korean. And one of the lines in the pop song is, I want to fall in love with a, even when she eats kimchi bokkeumbap, she still smells good woman.
Wow.
Interesting.
Must make karaoke very hard.
Unfortunately, they don't use those songs in karaoke. But I had a question in return.
Okay.
I don't know how to. There have been some recent studies worldwide about self-reported sexual satisfaction.
Yes.
Great question.
And my question is, there are 12 that are listed in one of the studies that I've been looking at, but just the top three would be great.
You mean 12 countries, or the three countries that deal most in that? Is that no?
Every country deals in this, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm missing the thrust of the question. So, which the top three of what?
Most sexually satisfied, self-reportedly sexually satisfied countries in the world.
Oh, huh. Okay.
Oh, the French are always bragging about being self-satisfied.
They don't even make the top 12.
Oh, no. What about Italy?
No.
Italy?
Italy is on there. Ding, 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 number
Yay.
Three.
Good. So,
how about those Russians? They have to do something during the cold winters.
So
yeah, but have you met the Russian, after the gender stuff in Russia is very difficult.
Apparently not.
After the age of 35 now. So... What part, may I ask, what general parts of the world these countries are in?
Actually, the region of the world that boasts the most are all in Europe.
Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm guessing for the other two, Greece and Spain.
Mm-hmm. Spain is number two. Very good. Greece doesn't make the top three, but it's number five.
Okay.
How about Sweden?
Very, very close guess.
Oh, Norway.
Then Denmark or Denmark or Norway.
Or
Finland?
Or
Iceland?
No, go a little further south.
Oh.
The Faroe Islands?
Oh, how about the Dutch?
The Netherlands.
Nope.
The Germans.
A lot of ones that are fairly high on the list, but don't make the
Germans have
one.
A very about healthy attitude about sex. Is it Germany?
Germany is something like 10th or 11th. Okay. 11th.
Not Swiss?
No,
yeah, it's Switzerland.
Is
yes,
it really?
You've got the Swiss-ness.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God. I didn't think.
Hey, that Swiss-ness is smiling for a reason.
Okay, so... So we have the two out of the three? No?
Or no, do we
have I think all three.
All three, all three.
One
okay.
One is Switzerland, two is Spain, three is Italy. But I did want to say that all of the northern European countries rank highly. And the suspicion, although I don't think you can really declare a reason, I don't know if social scientists can really conclusively say a reason, is that with egalitarianism comes the ability to speak up for what you want, that sort of thing, that under really heavy sexism, both partners may not say that they are having a great sex life.
Well, if I can go just slightly further, that most of the European countries, northern European countries, are highly secular as well. So they may have something to do with it, too.
Yes, and Switzerland is also very, very open-minded about early sexual education.
Right.
And apparently sex out in the open.
Oh, my.
Crazy percentage, 21% say that they have had sex outdoors. No, 32%, sorry.
Wow.
In the spring, not the
public
winter.
Spaces.
Right.
Not just like out in the forest. I mean public spaces.
30-something?
Wow. Good for them.
32%. Yes. Visit Switzerland.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people will now. Thank you very much.
I hope my students are listening.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Let me find something here. Who was the first author in the United States to actually make films based on his own books? So produce films that were based on his own books. First author. Set up a production company to do that. Famous author. Somebody that, you know, probably all of us have heard of here at the table.
He set up his own production company?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I know that Stephen King produced one of his own movies, but it didn't go...
Way before that.
Yeah, it didn't go that well.
Way before that.
Yeah. Are we looking at a particular genre, like mystery
you are.
Or something?
Yeah, you are looking at a particular genre, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is. So who was the first famous author in the U.S. to produce movies based on his own work?
Is it L. Ron Hubbard?
It is not L. Ron Hubbard, no. yeah. L. Ron Hubbard. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Was the first author, was it Earl Stanley Gardner?
No, but that's a perfectly good guess and a logical one, too. Good. But no, not that.
Okay, let's see. How about a statue in front of Parliament? Yes. Gandhi?
Yes, Gandhi is one.
Nice.
Very good.
Yay.
I said that earlier.
Bell. Let's see, Emmy producer, Grammy producer, Phil Spector.
That's a good guess. I like that.
That is a good guess, but I don't think so. No.
No. Oldest Grammy winner, is that Lionel Hampton?
No. Nope. Not in the top five, actually.
Flags with Buildings? Take some shots at those. Okay. India?
No, they've got a Dharma wheel.
I think it's a wheel. Like, I couldn't remember if there was something in the middle of it.
No. But I will say that a lot of the buildings that are left are in the middle, like tiny in the middle of a coat of arms. So you're on the right track, but not India.
Yeah, that's kind of so. I'm going to guess a couple others. I'm not sure. Kazakhstan?
Nope.
Liechtenstein?
Nope.
Shoot. Let's see if there are some of the quotes. The We Must Take Sides quote, is that FDR?
Oh, is that me?
She's checking.
No, I don't think I had any FDR quotes.
No.
And the God is Silent, is that Einstein?
No.
And
actually, that's when I'm surprised that Dana doesn't know, because it's...
Oh, is it Donald Trump?
No, I'm surprised that you were surprised.
You won't be when you hear who it is.
All right.
All right. So let's see. Worst customer service. How about Wells Fargo?
Oh.
No.
That should be on the list.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Yes, they do.
Not good service. The Kids in the Hall movie, was that something like Death Comes to Something Town?
Yes, just Town. Death Comes to Town. And
Death Comes to Town.
If you haven't watched that 8-episode show, you need to watch it because it is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm working my way through the old Kids in the Hall shows on the are just great.
Yes.
Let's see. And then I've got one question. So the Grammys are on tonight. So who are the only mother-daughter combo to win Golden Globes?
To win Golden Globes?
Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Oh. Mother.
Oh, wait.
Daughter.
Did Hudson win in her mother? I'm just thinking.
How about Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith?
No. Yes.
How about...
I like your guess. You should go with it, even if it's wrong.
I was thinking Kate Hudson and
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn, nope. Another good
How
one.
About Laura Dern and her mother?
Diane Ladd.
Diane Ladd.
Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds?
Oh.
No, another
good one.
Blythe Danner and Gwyneth Paltrow?
No. What?
I had another one, and I've already forgotten it.
Yeah.
Nope, we don't know.
They come and they
I should
go.
Say the mother has won a Grammy.
The mother
has won a Grammy and a Golden Globe. Gosh.
And the daughter just won this year.
Oh, I didn't see the Golden Globes this year.
Wait, just won this year. I did. Okay,
No, tell us.
It's Diana Ross and Tracy Ellis.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you very much.
One sec.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I have the rest of your Chinese zodiac animals or characters, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mouse, goat, or sheep, dragon, horse, pig, and monkey.
Okay, where was it? Pig, monkey, horse. Yeah, I think we're just missing one.
Mouse, goat, dragon, horse, pig, monkey, rat, ox, rabbit, snake, rooster, dog. I think that's 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I wasn't sure about pig.
No, pig is good. It's boar. It's called boar in some cultures, but pig or boar, yes. So let me see. I've got rat, ox, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, pig. And I've got one that, unless I missed it, I haven't heard.
Dog, pig. Oh. Mouse.
No, mouse and rat are the same.
Oh, rat. Oh, darn it. That's right. Then I'm missing one. Okay. Sorry. Okay, moving on. This is a wild guess about who might be in front of Parliament.
Yes.
Napoleon?
No. that is a wild guess. You're right about that. No, not Napoleon.
I like that idea, though.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, AT&T, most complained about company, perhaps?
No, it's not.
I love the sexually satisfied countries. That was awesome.
Oh.
Okay, how about Terry Gilliam for the writer of Python?
No, he actually was a member of Monty Python.
Oh, of course he was. Okay, I didn't realize that was excluded. Okay, Lonesome Dove or McMurtry for the writer-turned-movie producer now?
Oh, that's a good guess, but no.
Okay. I think that's... Let me just turn one more page. That was it, guys. Thanks so much. It's fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, back to the zodiac and the elements.
Yes.
I can't remember which ones of the zodiac you already have, but I'll just go through. Rat, goat, sheep, ox, rooster, tiger.
That's it. Tiger, that's tiger. The one. That's okay. The one that was missing.
Okay. And then the five elements are water, earth, air, fire, and wood.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yay.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, so is the statue Eisenhower?
In front of Parliament. No, it's not Eisenhower. Though I think, I believe there is a statue of Eisenhower someplace in London, but I couldn't tell you exactly where it is.
Okay. And then the most complained about company, it's not really a company, but the U.S. Postal Service.
No, it's a strictly private company.
I was going to guess AT&T, but someone just did. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is JP in San Francisco, Alamo Square.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I have an answer for the non-Python.
Yes. Yep.
And that's Neil Innes
of
the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
Good job.
That is,
and,
that's correct.
And then also the voter quote about voters, was that Winston Churchill?
I'm sorry.
One of the quotes about the...
I don't think I have
voters.
Any Winston Churchill, so no.
No.
No, okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Brian calling from San Francisco again.
Hi.
I wanted to make a guess on the author who was producing his books. I think, is an instinctual guess. Was it Frank Baum who did the Wizard of Oz book?
Oh,
that's an extremely good guess, and he did do that, but he wasn't the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I think he went bankrupt doing that.
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know he was filming his things back in, 1913.
Right, right, right. No, it was in the 20s. Even in the late teens, it was before that. But that's a very good guess, but no.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay. It's Ken from Santa Cruz.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. I did have Neil Innes because I have all of Bonzo's records.
There you go.
But I'm forgetting what the other question was.
Was it Phil Hartman?
If you know Neil Innes? No, 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 okay. No. Oh man! I see. I somebody else got that answer, and I forgot. Well,
I'm sorry. We have to run. So,
okay.
But thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, time to clean up here. Pauline, what do you got? Quickly.
Okay, so my Chinese animal difference was a rabbit and cat was because of the sound of the word with mio, cat in Vietnamese. Goddess Island. Now, if only man would shut up, is Woody Allen. Nothing strengthens authority so much as silence, is Leonardo da Vinci. I'm sorry. The oldest Grammy winner was Pine Top Perkins, and the youngest was...
That's all right. We don't have to...
Go
ahead, Karen.
Woman doctor and male are black. National Academy of Sciences. Both of them are Blackwells. Ellen Ochoa.
Elizabeth Blackwell.
Yes.
Yes.
Ellen Ochoa is the director of Johnson Space Center, who's the first Latina in space. Eugene is the anal retentive chef. John Johnson, you can call him Vicky. And the flags with man-made buildings are Afghanistan, Portugal, San Marino, and Spain.
Okay. The foreign leaders with statues in front of Parliament Square in London, the ones nobody got, Mandela and Lincoln. The most complained about company in the United States is American Airlines. And, the first American author to make films based on his own books, Zane Grey.
Oh.
The Western author. Anyway.
I should have known that one.
If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, Pauline Teichman, Kira Pace, and Dana Rodriguez. thanks to David Lotteleep and Steve Wilcott. Thanks to you, everybody, for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And on Grammy night, the Grammys for Album of the Year, all live albums were by Judy Garland, George Harrison, Eric Clapton, and Tony Bennett. This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco.